FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. The date is March 1st, 2016. You know what that means? It's time for Mickey Fulp's monthly major market review. Mickey, welcome back.
Good to be back at the farm in the sun after lots of gray in Vancouver. I think they should... The weather forecast should just be shades of gray.
Interesting month, February. Markets, what are our stock markets look like in February, Mickey?
Well, the Dow, the S&P, the NASDAQ, Russell 2000, the Toronto Index were more or less flat over the month. The NASDAQ did lose 1%. But that said, there was actually quite a bit of volatility, especially around mid-month, but a vacillating market, and they basically all ended up flat. The only market that really moved over the month was the Toronto Venture Exchange, and it was up a whopping 8%. That's after it set an all-time low in mid-January. It's now approaching nearly above the 200-day moving average. So all the technical analysts would say that if it exceeds that, it indicates a positive market going forward. We could have reached the bottom, or it could be just associated a correlation with the uptick in gold over the month. Gold was up almost 11%, or I should say, it may be a combination of all three factors. The usual pre-PDAC rally, and for those not familiar, the Prospectors and Developers Association Convention in Toronto starts on Sunday. We commonly see a rally before that and then a post-PDAC hangover, for lack of a better word, and a sell-off. So by the time we talk next month, we'll have a take on what happened there.
Yeah, the last time that it was at 542 was on October 30th.
I'm looking here, and that's true.
Yeah, so, and it was exactly at 542.
Yeah, let's put that into perspective, though. We're off a high of 2,440 in March. Pre-PDAC, one day before PDAC in 2011, it hit 2,440. So we're off something on the order of 75% since then.
Yeah. Hey, well, it may or may not be reason for encouragement. That remains to be seen.
True enough. The emerging market index, after taking the shorts for 3 months in a row, was actually flat over the month, 1 point higher than the end of January. And volatility of the VIX, the S&P futures volatility, was at the high end at 20.55. So we did see some volatility over the month.
Absolutely. So I hate when that happens, when you just look at the where it wound up and it looks like nothing happened at all.
Well, that's why we're talking about the VIX now. So we've solved that problem.
Absolutely. Absolutely. On to our money indexes here and interest rates and all. Dollar, you know, not such a great month.
Well, the dollar had a volatile month, too. It started the month over 99. Dropped down to 95 and change, and over the last week or 10 days has made another rally into the 98 range, closed yesterday at 98.19. Interestingly enough, my Canadian friends, analysts and pundits up there were ripping and roaring in mid-month when the dollar got down to 95, and they were convinced that this was the end of the dollar run, the dollar rally, and it was going to go below 94 and not see that for quite some time. Au contraire, that was a bit of just a pipe dream, if you will.
Hey, so where are we now?
Well, the euro was, again, quite volatile. I think it went from about a 108 to 112, inverse to the dollar, closed the month at 109 for a 0.4% change. 10-year Treasury was one of the worst performers over the month, down whopping 10%, a 13-month low, closed at a interest rate of 1.74%. That's incredibly low. We've only seen that just a few times since we started compiling these numbers. And then finally, Bitcoin, the most volatile of all the pseudo-currencies, its monthly gain at 14% is almost equivalent to the January loss. It closed the month at 432. Before we started this interview, we talked a bit about is Bitcoin money, and we looked at Aristotle's five criteria for money. That case is very equivocal. That's probably something for another show. Maybe we should talk about that sometime.
I would agree with you there. It's definitely kind of in the gray area when it comes to whether or not it's truly money. But hey, certain people are willing to accept it for various goods and services. So it definitely has some monetary-like properties.
Well, so does PayPal, and so do your smartphone when you use it as an ATM. Now, that's kind of scary to me.
Yeah. Yeah, well, those digital payment systems, highly vulnerable and potentially, well, we don't need to get into that either. We'll save that for the Bitcoin show as well.
Absolutely.
But precious metals, still.
Well, yeah, the big story over the month was gold, up almost 11% into the 1230-1240 range, closed the month yesterday at 1238. A bit unusual for a rise like that in February. We certainly expected that January rise for that to continue as strongly as it has into February, despite a dollar index that was both up and down, in the case of people once again are coming in, back into the idea that gold is the only safe haven. You know, if you're watching Fox Business or CNBC or Bloomberg now, there a few pundits actually start, mainstream pundits starting to talk about gold as the ultimate safe haven, which we all know it is. and so they've come to remind everybody that that's the case once again. And physical demand has been quite strong, so that's part of it. It hasn't been that way with silver, though. Silver was only up 4.6%. Usually when gold goes on a run, silver will gain even more, lose even more on a downtick. It was less volatile. Closed the month at 1489. The gold-silver ratio closed yesterday at 83, and that is approaching the very unusual ratio that we saw at the heart of the global economic crisis. If memory serves, in November of 2008, it briefly hit 84. This is the strongest buy signal I have seen for silver since November of 2008, which is absolutely the last time I bought any significant amounts of silver. So the idea here would be to buy physical silver and wait till that ratio corrects, post bull market, or let's say at the start of the bull market rally in 2003 for gold, probably averaged a ratio of about 55 or something. So the idea here would be to buy silver now, and at some point when that ratio corrects and silver becomes stronger with relation to gold, then you would sell your silver and turn it into gold bars.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense there. that ratio is so high, something's got to give. We've been saying that for a while.
Well, I don't know. It's not going to go higher, Gary.
Think?
Who knows? But this is getting into uncharted territory is what I would say. You know, you can't buy it at the bottom of a market like this for silver. But certainly this is the range that I think you want to buy at.
Yeah, it's certainly up there for sure. So what about our other metals here, Mickey?
Well, platinum had a nice rally over the month at plus 7%, but that's 4% lower than the gold rally. So that brings us to another ratio, and that's the platinum to gold ratio yesterday at 0.75. And that equals the all-time low set in July of 1982, that low being since we went off the gold standard in 1970-1971. So another very strong signal for a platinum buy at this point. Palladium, I don't know why, but palladium lost 2% over the month. Perhaps that's just taking some of that unusual ratio of the platinum to palladium ratio we've been saying, but with auto demand remaining very strong, especially in China and certainly in the U.S., not sure why platinum lost money when the other precious metals gained.
Yeah, interesting. I wonder why.
Don't know.
Well, hey, the mysteries of life. But
yeah, the mysteries of the market.
Yes, the mysteries.
Maybe it's time to bring in the GATA guys and have them rant and rave about manipulation.
Well, we know there's none of that happening. So
oh, never.
And, of course, Dr. Copper.
Well, Dr. Copper had a nice rally post-Chinese New Year. I could not say that was not expected. Closed the month at $2.14, up almost 4% over the month. You know, demand still remains growing. You know, it just is not growing as much as normal. I think, you know, we're expecting 2.5-3% demand growth of copper this year. That's on the low side, but with these low copper prices, production's gonna come off. And so I guess in the midterm, I'm relatively bullish on copper.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now we get to the energy sector. And I just want to make one observation here before you go into it. The price of oil has been below $70 a barrel, closing prices for the month, since October 31st of 2014. Pretty protracted decline in the price of crude.
Well, this is true, and really, I would make the case, and I wrote a piece, I don't know, sometime in the month of February, about oil and when the bear market started, and I pegged that at October 1st of 2014 when it last when it was at $90 a barrel, and it was all downhill from there. But you know, oil closed the month at $32.75. That's WTI. Brent was $34.38. The market was very volatile for oil over the month, driven by rumor machinations regarding OPEC and Russia and meetings, et cetera, Venezuela in that mix. We're still faced with record high inventories, even in the U.S. I read something today. Inventories now are going into rail cars on sidings. Wow. Because that's the cheapest way to store it, about 25 cents a barrel per month. The small to mid-tier shale E&Ps are increasingly in trouble with debt load. We saw the U.S.'s largest natural gas producer, Chesapeake Energy, come out with a news release that said, we're not going bankrupt, which did nothing to help the stock.
Great.
and over the month, we actually tested our low of $26 and change. But that was a one-day spike down and then up, and it bounced off of that. So hopefully we've seen the bottom in oil. We tested that low, twice now, and it's bounced right off of it. So anyway, we're hopeful. It's increasingly apparent that as oil goes, so go the economies of the world. And, there's other than pulling up to the gas pump, which in the third week of February, you could do that nationwide and fill your tank at $1.70. $1.70 a gallon nationwide, you can fill up in the third week of February. And that's despite the outliers such as the monarchy of Moonbeam in California, where he has a floating gas tax, and as gas goes down, the taxes increase. So I talked to a friend of mine in San Diego, and they're still paying $3 a gallon no matter what happens.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what's going on in places like Illinois and New York, but I don't imagine it's much different there. Besides that, there's the refineries are cutting output. So the gasoline price actually went up 30 cents last week. So it went from $1.70 nationwide to, I think, $2.03 nationwide. So anyway, very volatile markets. The real story on the downside over the month was Henry Hub gas down a whopping, this is incredible to me, 28% over the month. That's a 17-year low, $1.66 per million BTU. The reasons, we have a natural gas glut. We have the end of winter. That's balanced, but not very strongly, by the exports of LNG. Cheniere Energy sent their first ship out last week, I guess. But the U.S. natural gas market is in a world of hurt right now.
Yeah, who would have thought it could go down to that low? That is just shocking. $1.66.
Yeah, that's my. 17-year lows. So do the math. When was that? That would have been 1998, I guess. That's a long time ago.
Yeah.
And $1.66 today is a lot different than $1.66 in 1998.
Oh, is it ever?
Time value money inflation.
Oh. Is it ever? We don't even need to get into that. Everyone knows.
No.
So, and then we get to uranium.
Well, there really wasn't any good news from the energy sector. There are people making the case, as goes oil, now goes uranium. Uranium was down 7% over the month, closed at 32.13. If people were crowing back in the fall and even into winter about $36 base. It's just so weak now. There's little unfilled demand for 2016. I read something yesterday, only 7 million pounds worldwide unfilled reactor demands for 2016. So it does not look good in the short term, despite the fact that the Japanese have now put a fifth reactor online. So we're seeing one every two or three months right now. We expect that to continue. But right now, there's plenty of uranium in the short term, and that does not look like that factor is going to go away for some time.
Remarkable.
In terms of our ratios, Brent to WTI has once again established arbitrage. That's starting to creep up again. WTI to Henry Hub bounced quite dramatically to 19.7 with the weakness in natural gas. And then also in uncharted territory is the gold to WTI ratio, now standing at almost 38.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. 30.
Yeah. We live in interesting times, my man.
Yeah, we certainly do. And hey, it's going to be interesting to see what March will bring. Will these trends continue? Will they reverse? Will we revert to normalcy or the normalcy bias? Because it doesn't feel normal out there right now, does it?
I don't really like it normal. I like abnormal because that gives volatility and gives you entry and exit points in the market and makes my job more interesting, no doubt.
Yes. We like volatility, and if life just goes along predictably, it gets boring very quickly, but sometimes boring's not so bad. Anyway, hey, find Mickey's work at mercenarygeologist.com, and got a couple of other places we can find you.
At mercenarygeologist.fm, as per usual, this interview will be up within a day or so. And at mercenarygeo is the Twitter feed, now well over 50,000.
Wow.
Excuse me. Now well over 53,000 followers.
Amazing. Hey, well, that is great. And find us at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Go there. Got news from all over the place, not to mention, Mickey, you've done well over 3,000 interviews since I've been doing this. And the number just keeps increasing. So many of you listening, sign up for the newsletter. Probably going to go out in the next couple of days talking about gold and the current environment out there. Mickey, hey, thanks as always, and we will talk to you next month.
Okay, Carrie, and I notice you're building your Twitter feed, and congratulations on that.
Yeah, we just broke 10,000 just the other day, so a momentous occasion for FSN. And Mickey, be well. Talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks a lot, Carrie.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.